This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes, sitting in for Michelle Martin. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. In their chairs today for a Shape Up are author Jimmy Israel, Republican strategist Ron Christie, sports editor Dave Zirin at The Nation magazine, and Boston Globe film critic Wesley Morris. All you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Allison. Hey, and good to have you back in the shop.
You too. Always glad to be here.
Hey, fellas, welcome. How are we doing?
Yo, yo.
Good.
Merry
How
Christmas.
You?
Happy everything.
Happy everything.
Being safe.
There's that. There's that.
That's what I say. You just never know.
I guess you don't. So let's get started. Talk about President Obama's Christmas present. In addition to, House Republicans doing their kind of dance with the payroll tax, his poll numbers are on the rise, but who knows how long that's going to last. A recent ABC News Washington Post poll shows the president's approval is now close to 50%. That's compared with just 13% for Congress, according to Real Clear Politics. And
wait, it's up. It's 13% now
for Congress. Yep.
For Congress,
yeah.
That's
I thought it was
9%.
Well, apparently it's up to 13
now. The upswing.
But we have to say these polls predate the vote that happened, so they could be changing tomorrow.
They could change any minute now. We got some tape, right?
Sure do. President Obama talked about the political infighting yesterday before the House Republicans agreed to the two-month renewal. He sounded a little annoyed. Here's a clip.
I mean, has this place become so dysfunctional that even when people agree to things, we can't do it? It doesn't make any sense. So enough is enough.
I should note that he was surrounded by people who wrote to the White House talking about how the end of the payroll tax break would affect their lives. And
you know, it's funny because I thought he was talking to the press pool. I'm like, whoa!
Oh, that's funny. Wait a minute now.
RC, hold him back. Hold him back, man. You'll get in here. You'll get in here.
Come on, Ron. Be a little fair. And this whole tax cut would boost the paycheck of the average worker by about $20 a week. The Senate had already approved it. The House has. And Jimmy, not Ron, but Jimmy.
Thank you so much. All right, RC, Ron Christie. All right, man, you're chomping at the bit here, man. Come on.
I'm raring to jump right in here. Let me be honest.
I
think it is somewhat predictable that the president's approval numbers have gone up as we head in the holiday season. Mm. I think the House and the Senate have looked ridiculous in these payroll tax negotiations. The president wisely stayed out of sight and let Congress kind of take the face of the ugly Washington, and then you heard his indignation from the tape that we just played. The question is, once January comes, the holidays are behind us and the Republicans are in full speed ahead, January 3rd for the Iowa caucus and a week later in New Hampshire for the first primary, does the shift towards the Republicans make the president not only a little less relevant in the news, but do folks start looking back at him and say, do we really want President Obama to have another 4 years? And
Ron,
that's what I'm looking
Ron
at.
Ron Christie, the Grinch, everybody. Yeah. Wild West, what's good, man? What do you think?
I don't know. I think that as long as the Congress continues to be Congress in the way that they have been being Congress the last like 2 or 3 years, I think all he has to do is stand back. At some point, he'll have his hands busy with you know, Newt Gingrich or, you know, Mitt Romney or Michelle Bachmann or whoever they decide they like long enough to give the Republican nomination to. I don't know. He's done a very good job of just saying, look at these people. I mean, this is clearly not my problem. I mean, he's got other things to do as well. So I don't know. I mean, I think his poll numbers go up because he's the person seemingly acting most like an adult.
Mm. Mm, Wesley Morris gives us the view from Beantown. Dave yeah. Zirin, what do you got?
This is what I got, two things. First of all, I think there's something essentially wrong about Ron's calculus, because he's right that the spotlight will turn to the Republican primary in January, but the only people who that makes happy is Jon Stewart, Jay Leno, and David Letterman. I mean, this is the weakest Republican primary in memory. Every week brings a new scandal, whether it's Ron Paul's racist rantings that he didn't write but put his name to 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
20, oh, 20 years ago.
A whole
he just
20
put his
years
name
ago?
To it.
A
My
whole
goodness.
20 years ago.
Calling for race war 20 years ago, it's an irrelevancy. And, or Mitt Romney. That's not what I think. No, yes, it is. No, 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 it's not. I mean, there's so much comedy there. Newt Gingrich and his 57 wives. I mean, it's just there's a lot there that's going
to
make it actually
really
good for
say
Obama.
It's just three, right?
But yes. Okay. No, but that it's good for Obama. And then the second
53?
Thing, too. And then the second thing is the economy, too, which we got to talk about. Lowest unemployment filings since April 2008, before people even were thinking of this as a great recession. And so that's helping Obama's numbers as well.
Right.
If you're just joining us, and I feel like I'm the gatekeeper today. If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes, and you're listening to our weekly Barbershop Roundtable. We're joined by author Jimmy Israel, Republican strategist Ron Christie, not the Grinch, sports editor Dave Zirin, and film critic Wesley Morris. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Allison. Okay, fellas. NBA fans get 5 games as gifts on Christmas Day, including a rematch of last year's finals between the Dallas Mavericks and the Miami Heat. We got some kind of something.
We do have a clip.
Hey.
And the celebration will begin. The Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions. The first title in franchise history.
Nice. Dave.
Oh,
yeah. Mr. Zirin. The Mavericks, you know, they're the defending champs, but many casual fans remember it more like as the championship that brought LeBron James and his crew, that hard loss. So the Mavs,
yep.
Are they the least respected champs ever?
No, but going into this year, they deserve to be less respected because they gave away the glue of their franchise to become One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. They gave away Tyson Chandler, the only person on that team who played defense, and J.J. Barea, the spark plug of all spark plugs. And who did they replace them with? Vince Carter and Delonte West. Mm. Vince Carter, my goodness, Vince Carter. Remember Vince Carter used to be able to jump?
When was that?
He doesn't play anymore. That was the Clinton administration.
Oh, okay.
Now he's growing this neck beard to cover the double chin. This is not the Vince Carter you want to see. So, sorry. Calming down.
RC, Ron Christie, jump in here, man. You going to watch any of these matchups?
I am, and I'm going to keep my anti-Grinch mode. Before, I was like, man, these greedy players, these owners, can't they get it together? And now I'm thinking, my Lakers, I am psyched to see some hoops on Christmas Day.
See, now I got to get you because they are playing my beloved Bulls. And Dave, how are they looking this season?
I have the Bulls in the NBA Finals this year. I think Rip Hamilton is the undervalued addition in
you
the
hear
entire
that?
NBA.
The finals. The
and
finals,
Kobe,
Ron.
This is hot off the press news is that Kobe tore a ligament in his wrist. Now, Kobe says he's ready to go, even with a torn ligament, and nobody in the NFL plays with pain like Kobe Bryant.
Wait. Did he tear a ligament in his wrist, or did his wife tear
it?
Pulling the ring off of his finger. Oh. You know, give me that ring, boy.
She got half his ligaments.
Right.
And you know they had no prenup, so that's not going to be cute.
Yeah, but the whole
off-the-court NBA is like a reality show. There's Kobe and Vanessa. There's Khloe Kardashian and Lamar making the tabloids for their house hunting. And poor Chris Humphries, who was getting booed. Dude, what's up with that?
Well, I don't
could
know.
Could it be that 72-day marriage? I don't know.
Could be.
It could be.
I was going to say. I think it's more because he's an overpaid El Stiffo who happened to be caught on television berating America's sweetheart, Kim Kardashian, which probably says more.
I don't think she's still America's sweetheart. I don't think so.
I don't know. You got me on that one.
I heard Kim, though, is coming in third in the Iowa caucuses, though.
You know what? Daffy Duck could come in third in the Iowa caucuses. Wild West.
Harsh rule today,
boy. You guys keep yucking
it
up, man. I tell you what, President Obama's going to have the moving van out in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Yuck it up, fellas. We'll talk about this in a year. We'll have a new Republican president.
I don't think so, man. I think he's already talking over each other.
We can hear you. Go, Jimmy.
I think he's already booked the routes for his ban for Inauguration Day, man. So I don't know. But wow. Wild West. Wesley Morris, you want to talk about the New Jersey Nets, man, and what's going on? Why is he the NBA's Chris Humphries? Why is he the most disliked player? What's up with that?
Because he's an easy target. You know, it's I just want to back up for 1 second and express a little bit of surprise that nobody is sort of feeling a little bit anticlimactic about this whole thing. There are people who are like having, you know, the gay thank God the NBA is back parties. I'm going to one. You know, I'm sure when I go over to Christmas on Christmas Day, you know, everybody will be so like, you know, thank God it's Thanksgiving, not Christmas. you know, we have our basketball back. But these people, I don't know.
we should note that Chris Humphreys plays for the Nets, just so we're clear. It's just he's not just playing for any team.
I can't say the Kardashians don't have a basketball team,
do they?
Not yet, but they're working on it. You know, they enough of those babies come out. You know, they'll be able to field a team pretty soon.
And I think Wesley's just sour because he lives in Boston, and I think Betty White's playing power forward for the Celtics
again.
No! But you know what? If Betty White came in, Doc Rivers could make her an NBA star.
Wow!
She would get to the playoffs and maybe to the finals. So just back off.
Where is the love with this crowd?
Okay, hold on. All right, everybody, wait a second. So wait, if sports is not your thing. Wow, Wesley Morris, what is the must-see flick coming to a theater near you this holiday season?
I just want to say it's not that sports isn't my thing. I will just probably be watching something else tomorrow. I mean, I'll watch the games, but I don't know.
Christmas is Sunday.
They wiped me out. I don't know. Movie-wise, Mission Impossible 4 is actually really fun. Mm. Try to see it in IMAX. You know, there's a couple really good action sequences. And, Tom Cruise, there's another person who could play in the NBA. No problem. Just, you know, give him a team.
He'll
get you to the final. He will let you know he is working really hard to get you.
Yeah, he'll give you that Zoolander style blue steel look in the camera, and then he'll automatically put like 15 points on the board.
He just has to stand there and grit his teeth.
In the NBA, then Tom Cruise could play in the NBA.
He'll blind you with Scientology. We got. He is back again though. Tom Cruise is back again as Ethan Hunt, and we have a little bit of a sound.
We do. I think he might be running.
Again?
An hour ago, a bomb blew up the Kremlin. The president has initiated ghost protocol. Now I've been ordered to take you to Washington, where they will hang the Kremlin bombing on you and your team, unless you were to escape after assaulting Brandt and me.
Who are you really, Brandt?
We all have our secrets. Don't we, Ethan?
This totally sounds like Thanksgiving with the in-laws. Thank you for that. but you know, me personally, I'm going to see Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I'm not really a big fan for these American remakes of foreign films. The U.S. version of Death at a Funeral was dreadful. But
yes.
But my homeboy, Clevelander Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, he's scoring the film. So I have to go support that, especially after he won the Grammy for the score of The Social Network. So I'm down with Trent. And I'm going to have to
get an Oscar, too.
That's right.
This is good. I mean, I don't understand exactly why we needed to have it, since there was a Swedish version of these Stieg Larsson books. But it's a David Fincher film. It's as good as David Fincher. It's him sort of doing that clinical serial killer thing that he does so well. And you know, it's the books are just trashy and lurid enough to be entertaining, and the movie is kind of the same way, although it tones down some of the overheated trashiness, but you still have all the sort of uncomfortable subject matter of like a woman being sexually assaulted and then getting revenge on the man who did it.
A little more than uncomfortable, just saying.
Weston Morris, you got a question? I have a question for Wes.
Rooney Mara. Is my question. That's what everybody's asking about. It comes from an incredibly wealthy family. NFL owners are grandparents, the Maras. Rooney, named after Art Rooney, the paterfamilias of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Her first big starring role. Does she have the chops to play Salander?
Yeah, she's great. She's really good. I mean, it's interesting because the same part was played. This is Lisbeth Salander will now be sort of like the Medea of the next few centuries. Not, you know, the, you know, Euripides Medea, not Tyler Perry.
Not Tyler Perry's Medea. Come on, Allison. Come on.
Although, wouldn't you
really
like to see that
image in my head now?
I think this is a part that, you know, there will be other versions of this character someplace else. I think her version is actually really smart in some ways because she taps into a kind of sadistic comedy that is kind of a break from the awfulness that she subjects others to and is subjected to.
Better than Noomi Rapace?
Noomi Rapace is, it's, she, that is a great piece of acting sustained over three movies. This is something slightly different. We don't know what the other two films will be, but, you know, we know by the third movie she won't have anything to do, really. She'll be in a hospital bed.
Yeah, yeah. For those of us that don't know, this is the first film in a trilogy of films, not unlike the trilogy of books, The Girl... the girl with the tattoo.
With
and
the there's
another,
tattoo.
Then there's another one. She gets a Mickey Mouse tattoo, and then
I'm talking. I'm talking.
Oh, sorry.
So
Allison.
It is the holidays, as Dave said, all of them. So really briefly, what do you guys want? What are your holiday wishes, Dave? Let me start with you.
My holiday wishes is for the fans of Los Angeles to have the opportunity to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's a movement in Los Angeles to follow the Green Bay Packers model of fan ownership. That is my holiday wish.
Ron, what about you?
I have to tell you, this recession has been a drag. My holiday wish is that for the United States economy to come roaring back next year, and that those folks who haven't had the opportunity to have a job can find one and to actually put away a little nest egg. This has just really been a drag, and it's been a tough year for all of us.
Wesley.
I don't want to follow that. I don't know.
We got Bartleby in the shop, everybody. He prefers not to. Go ahead, man.
Exactly.
I was going to say I hope Tyler Perry and, you know, breaks down and makes an August Wilson play into a movie. I don't know.
And then you wake up.
That's going to make my head explode. Jimmy, you get the final word, of course.
Well, of course, I wish for health and prosperity for all my friends and family. But, you know, these days I'm especially wishing for a speedy recovery for our own Tashima Walker.
And she will be fabulous. Tashima, we know you're listening. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and author of the book, The Denzel Principle. Dave Zirin, a sports editor for The Nation magazine and host of Sirius XM Radio's Edge of Sports Radio. They were both right here in Washington, D.C., also with us today. The quiet Wesley Morris, who is a film critic at the Boston Globe, who joined us from member station WAMC in Albany. And Ron Christie is Republican strategist and a former aide to President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. He joined us from New York. Thanks so much. Happy holidays. And Mo, we're going to miss you, our director, leaving today. Happy holidays, everybody.
Peace.
Merry Christmas. Bye, Mo.
Happy Festivus.
Yep, yep.
That's our program for today. I'm Allison Keyes, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.